Hello, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Welcome home.
Soar into tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey, it's Amy from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, Clubbers, it's Scott from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, it's Kathleen from DVC Clubhouse.
Welcome aboard, it's Phil from DVC Clubhouse.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Debrief Podcast brought to you by DVC Clubhouse. This is Amy, and I'm joined by my fellow co-hosts, Phil, Scott, and Kathleen. Hey, everyone.
Hi, guys.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome aboard, guys.
Today's episode, there's a word that we use a lot when we do our episodes and we're trying to pick the things that we love or we're debating what's better. And we always come to the conclusion at the end of every episode that it just comes down to the feels. And the feels are different for everyone. And so a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, I don't know, I sent Phil a text. Because I was desperately trying to find something that I could use to convince him that he would like Fort Wilderness.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, we don't need to go down that road again, okay?
You can buy a Fort Wilderness cabin, you know, for $55,000.
Gently used single wide.
You can put it in your backyard. Little taste of Disney in your backyard every day.
Let me just say real quick that that is cheaper than putting in an in-ground pool.
That is cheaper almost than buying a contract.
You're not wrong.
Depending on how many points you get. But anyway, I was hoping that he would give me some sort of nugget that I could use and say, well, Fort Wilderness has that. And alas, every one of his moments or every one of the things that gives him the feels was like located in a theme park. So it didn't really help my cause, but Phil thought that it would be a good idea to talk about on the podcast, the things that give us the feels. And so, you know, when I posed the question to him, I asked him like, what are the things like when you get to Disney that you feel like you've arrived, like what are the things that really resonate with you that give you the feels that the nostalgia kicks in and you're just like, I'm here. That's what we're going to talk about today. The things that give each of us the feels.
Do you want to go first, Scott?
Go ahead.
No, I always go first.
The things that give me the feels, I have like two that jump off the page. One, I think a lot of people, I don't want to steal anybody's, but Happily Ever After always gives me the feels. You know, I don't know what it is about that, but that's about the only fireworks show that I can remember that's actually made me emotional. And then one of my first memories being at Disney was actually at Port Orleans Riverside. I can remember being in the food court, and it was the first time that I ever really felt kind of the magic of Disney and what makes you really want to keep coming back. And it was all of the cast members in the, I guess you would call that, what is that, a food court. They all just started singing at the Riverside. And it was this little jingle that they would sing and everybody started clapping. And I don't know what it was about that, but I fell in love with that resort because everybody was smiling and happy. And I just felt like that's the difference right there between a vacation somewhere else and a Disney vacation.
So are you telling me that if we can get the cast members at Old Key West to clap their hands and sing a song, it'll give you the feels? Is that all it takes?
I think it might take a little more than that, but it's a good start.
I don't know if there's any music to clap along to that came out in the 40s. Did the Andrews sisters have clap along music?
But I know Happily Ever After is probably the generic answer because I think a lot of people could say that, but a personal one for me would definitely be the Riverside experience. And I I've always said if they sold points at Riverside, I would be the first one in line to buy.
So what else, when you walk on property, I'm just curious, and it doesn't even have to be when you walk on property. So if you look at today, like, we know what gave us the feels in the past, but what keeps you coming back? What are those moments? What are those smells, those sounds, those experiences that keep you visiting the park time after time, where you walk in and you just say to yourself, I am home?
Well, Phil, I know for you, it starts before you even set foot on property.
It absolutely does. And there's a reason that it's in the intro to our show, because when we started planning this show, we got together and we were asking each other, what are those sounds, that the ones that you love to hear, the ones that just resonate with you? And for me, I'm going to be heartbroken when Mayor Buddy Dyer cannot seek re-election or is not re-elected, and it's someone new on the APM. It's going to break my heart. How many years have we been listening to, hi, this is Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer, the second we get on the APM? I can't help myself. We step on that APM and my kids just rush up to the front window. And when you hit that APM, it's the monorail. It is a monorail. And for those of us that fly in on a regular basis, I always said that I don't relax until I get there. So when you're getting ready for vacation, you're packing and you're putting the suitcases together and you've got the kids and everyone's losing their minds. And what do we need to bring with us? And what's the weather going to be? And we all know Orlando is like New England. You got to pack for almost every season. And then you've got to get to the airport. You've got to deal with the nightmare that is air travel. And then you're on the flight and you're trying to keep them occupied. And then you're on final and you start getting excited. And then you land and you wait at the gate and you get off. And once you step on that APM, you're there. From that point on, it's just a matter of collecting your bags and getting to the resort. But I think I finally take my first deep breath when we get on the APM and I hear Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't there a time when that, like, when the central hubs in the terminals had like a huge Walt Disney World display? I kind of feel like my nostalgia, like from when I was, and not even that much younger, but that there was like a huge Disney World display that when you came from like your gate, you know, had like, there's like a wheel, right? There's like a hub. And when you would come to that central hub before you would get to the, to that little, what are you calling it? An APM?
The APM, the automated people mover.
To bring you to the main terminal. It always used to have like Disney displays, and that was kind of like always just like a symbol of having arrived. But
I remember the displays that were outside the Disney stores in each individual terminal. I don't know that I remember one big display, but I do remember a giant Sorcerer Mickey outside one of the Disney stores when we came in. So I think that's the one that I'm reminded of, but I don't remember one big central display.
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you about the airport. I mean, I think that there's something that is, it's just like this, like I said, symbolic of like arriving. So it, for me, it starts once I land, I get off the plane and it feels like the excitement and anticipation of getting there. Because, you know, especially for me, because I stay at a different resort every time, the airport is like the one thing that I always, you know, you always pass through the airport because I fly every time I go. So that's just like the preamble to the arriving and getting all of the feels once you're on property.
I miss Magic Express.
That actually came up today on the Facebook page. I don't miss Magical Express. I do miss baggage transfer. That to me was the most important part. What I was going to ask is, now that you live so close, has that defining moment changed for you? Do you still have a defining moment? And is it now getting on the tram in the parking lot versus hitting the airport?
I think that has definitely changed. You know, before we moved, it was definitely getting on the tram at the airport and hearing that message. You know, it brings the feels. But now that we live here, I mean, I think it's more of the smells and the sounds of the monorail and the boats. It's more of that than anything for me.
Yeah, I think it's walking into each individual mm-hmm. resort.
The resorts, definitely.
You know, it. I don't know, it makes you feel a certain way. But yeah, I think if anything, I miss the experience of flying in and getting on the Magical Express. I mean, for me, that's when the excitement started. But now it's just, not to be like a Debbie Downer, but it's fighting the traffic on I-4 trying to get into Disney. And it's not as magical as, say, you know, a once or twice a year trip where, you know, you can just feel it as soon as you get off the airplane and you know you're finally at Disney.
You said the smells in the resorts. So when Amy asked me for my list, one of the things that I listed were the smells at Poly, Boardwalk, and Beach Club. When we walk into the resort and you take that first big breath, so now you have gotten through the APM, you've gotten your bags, now we get a car service because we don't have Magical Express, and we pull up and you're still excited, but then you walk into that lobby and there's just that next big breath that you take and you can smell it. And I think Poly, Boardwalk, and Beach and Yacht Club, because they have been kind of our go-to resorts for years, those are the smells that hit me without a doubt, to the point that if we're not staying at Boardwalk, I know a lot of times we'll go over, well, almost every time we'll go over to Trattoria for dinner, and we make it a point to walk into the Boardwalk lobby just to get that Boardwalk smell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's Beach Club for us. And surprisingly, we were just there the other day. I think when you talk about the smells of the resort, kind of surprisingly, I think of Riviera now. I know it's a newer resort, but that was the first time that you ever got to go to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings back a lot of memories for me. And every time we walk in there, I said it the other day, I hate to admit it, but it gives me such good feels when I walk in there and I smell that smell.
You know, it's funny, I don't recall the Riviera smell, and I'm not saying that to be salty. I just don't recall being overwhelmed with one when we went in, so I'm going to have to pay attention next time.
Very distinct smell. I don't think it really reminds me of another resort. Maybe close to Beach Club, but very distinct smell.
That for me, I mean, absolutely something that triggers my nostalgia and makes me feel like I've arrived is walking into the Beach Club lobby. I mean, that is the smell, the way that it looks, you know, that just brings me back to when I was younger and I would go to Disney World. The Beach Club lobby is just 100% the thing that feels like so much nostalgia wrapped up for me. And then it was the contract that, you know, the first contract that I bought back in 2002. So coming, you know, arriving for the first time as a DVC member and staying at the Beach Club was so exciting for me. I actually, when I was younger, before I became DVC and I was like in my 20s and I always had this like fantasy of working at Disney World, the thing that I always wanted to do was work at the front desk at Beach Club because I just loved my experience of arriving at Beach Club was so exciting, and I loved, you know, approaching the check-in counter and being greeted and checking in, and I wanted to be able to bring that experience to other people. It's not quite the same anymore because so many people bypass the front desk because you can do online check-in.
I was just going to say that we still make it a point to go to the front desk. Even if I check in online, I don't have to. I can go directly to my room. I have to go to the front desk. To me, that's part of the experience. And I know that's what they're trying to avoid. And they're trying to make it as seamless and easy as possible. And perhaps they don't need to have as many cast members at the desk. But even if I check in online, unless we're waiting for a room on a split stay day, I will purposely go to the front desk. That to me is part of the arrival.
We do the same exact thing.
Well, and you definitely get, if you check in online, they're going to give you whatever room is ready when it's ready. But when you check in, they always check to see if there's something available. And I don't know, they greet you. It's just a different experience. I agree. It's something that I had stopped doing because honestly, fortunately, my rooms have mostly been ready. By the time I arrive, I'll get the notification in the lift on the way to the resort. And so I would just head to my room, but it almost feels like I'm missing a step. That moment of feeling like I have arrived has been completely bypassed. So I've started to stop at the front desk because it does feel like an important step in starting the vacation.
And it's kind of sad because those lobbies are amazing. It's not just the smell, it's walking into the grandeur of those lobbies. It's walking into Polynesian and having someone hand you a lei. and seeing Maui in front of you and the activity and the lanterns up on the ceiling. It's walking into Yacht Club and seeing that giant globe in the center. It's walking into Boardwalk and seeing the carousel moving or the roller coaster or all those paintings that are above the desk of the different castles. The Imagineers spent a lot of time and energy and did some beautiful work. So to bypass the lobby on the way to your room is just heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, that's one of the main things that makes me fall in love with the resort is the lobby. Yes, you're just your first overall impression when you walk in. It's the smell. But when you walk in and see how grand it is, and that's why I think sometimes I give a little bit of flack to some of the resorts that don't have that wow factor for the lobby, because it just doesn't give me the same feels as when I first walk into a resort and I just kind of look around like, wow.
We're looking at you, Contemporary. I love that lobby because of the history that's in there, but it's a very underwhelming front desk. The Grand Canyon Concourse is gorgeous, but the lobby and the check-in are just kind of like a Hilton.
Yeah.
You say that every time we go to Riviera. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, because Riviera, I mean, even pulling up to the building, it's, you know, you're looking at that like, wow, you know, this is beautiful. And I walk into that lobby and it smells great, but I just get so disappointed every time I see that lobby, the size of it, the overall wow factor of it. It just isn't there for me, but I still get the feels, like I said, just because that was our first DVC trip together.
And, you know, something that we've kind of bypassed, which is for me, like always a big moment, is when you are driving and you actually arrive, you know, you go under the archway and you're on property. Like, that's such a, no matter how many times I go, I laugh now because, you know, now in the world of like having, you know, a smartphone and always having a camera at your fingertips, I record it every single time as if like, it's like, yep, this big, unique, absolutely, moment that I've never experienced before.
My kids still count down. They have been at least twice a year for, heck, going on 10 years. And to this day, they see the sign coming. And if we go in late, my daughter is inevitably asleep in the backseat of the car. And my son will wake her up and they will count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're at Disney. It's an experience. I know I've had to stay a few times for business on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. We tend to have a lot of conferences at that Wyndham Lake Buena Vista, and I'll go out for a morning run and I go out toward the crossing specifically so that I can run by the gate and take a selfie with Mickey in my running gear, because it's just cool to see. You are exiting property. It's all been torn down now, but into what was essentially a strip mall. And then suddenly you run back and you're on Hotel Plaza Boulevard and the Disney touches are just immediately evident within 50 yards. And that gate is just the entryway to everything.
You guys are the ones that are pulled off on the side of the road right by the sign that says it's strictly enforced not to pull off on the side of the road.
That would be a hard no from us. I don't think my driver would like that if I said, you know, could you just pull over so we could take a photo? But I mean, passing under that gate, you know, the other thing is when you pass under the gate, seeing the purple road signs, yeah, that is another sure indication that you're on property and we've arrived.
They're starting to change those. Some of,
I know.
Blue.
Yeah, they're updating them.
It's the sign definitely still gets to me. We were talking about that not that long ago. Like, I still get excited even when we go on the weekends going under the sign.
I would always make a noise. I would be like, oh,
yeah,
just, you know, we're finally here. We
the clouds ride. Open, the sun shines down, angels sing.
Yep.
You know, even being at Disney Springs gives me the feels with certain things. We were just there this past weekend, and even that, just the sounds at night, like that stage over there by across from Wine Bar George and yep, next to Boathouse.
I love the music that they play at, yeah, Disney Springs.
Oh, the music they play.
I was actually going to say something that for me is just, I think it doesn't matter where you are, but it's the music for me. When I walk into International Gateway, the music that plays there. If I walk into, you know, when you walk into Magic Kingdom, you hear the music. When you walk outside of the lobby of the boardwalk and onto the boardwalk and you hear the music playing, I mean, you just have music playing everywhere you go, and it just is part of what is so immersive about being at Disney, and it immediately sucks you in. You've got the sights, you've got the smells, you've got the sounds. It's like a complete a completely immersive experience to arrive at your resort or to step into a theme park and be surrounded by all of that.
Is there a certain thing that you guys have to do that gives you the feels? Like, no matter what park it is even if it's corny, is there like a certain thing that you guys have to do every single time? Mine is LaFuse Brew. I know that sounds like it's just off in the corner of Magic Kingdom, but I always have to go get a LaFuse Brew every time I go to Magic Kingdom. Yeah, every time I go to Magic Kingdom.
I don't know about every time we're at a park, but I will say every trip, and it is the most cliche touristy thing ever. But it's been happening since I was 6 months old, and it's been happening since my children were 6 months old, and it happens to this day. Every single vacation has to have a picture of the children in the stockades in between Haunted Mansion and Frontierland. It just has to happen, right? Liberty Square. Mm-hmm. You need to have your picture taken in the stockades. It is non-negotiable in my family.
That's kind of my kids with the troll in Norway. Yeah. We have pictures of my kids at all different ages with that thing. And I even have pictures of me on, you know, trips with friends. You know, it's for me, I take a lot of trips by myself, so I don't necessarily hit up all of like the big nostalgic things each time I go. But when I'm there with my kids, or if I'm there with friends, or, you know, or family, there are things like that troll that, you know, that we always have to do. I mean, jelly rolls is something that I always do. And whether I'm by myself or whether I'm with friends, that has huge nostalgia for me. You know, because I was going to Disney when I was, and going to, and staying at the boardwalk when I was like 23 years old. So going to the boardwalk was like the only nightlife really, you know, at that time there was Pleasure Island, but when you're staying at the boardwalk, it was so great to be able to just walk over to Jelly Rolls. And so now I have, and one of the piano players has been there for as long as I've been going. So it's like, I love going, and I love when he's there playing. That is like a huge, huge must do for me, whether I'm by myself or with somebody else.
Just to backtrack for a moment, we talk about the sounds going into the parks. The background loops to me are just as important and play into the nostalgia every bit as much, if not more, than the smells. The smells are incredible. But I was putting my son to bed the other night, and always I have either Deep Park radio or Sorcerer radio on. Deep Park is great because they actually have a second stream that's nothing but background music. And I have hours upon hours of background loops on my phone that I'll just play in the background when I'm working. And he said, "Why do you like the Epcot music?" And that Epcot entrance music, the loop, to me, you want to take me back to being 6 years old myself and walking into very new Epcot at the time, to date myself, and hearing that music. And I said, this reminds me not just of when I was little, but when you were little, because that music has changed, but it's the same style of music. It's still that same electric music they've got going. The background music to me is every bit of the experience. And I walk into Epcot and hear that Epcot background entrance loop. That is another moment that, you know, my wife says when I walk into either Epcot or especially Magic Kingdom going down Main Street, is the only time over the course of an entire year that she sees me relax. Anyone that knows me knows I am Mach 3 all the time with my hair on fire. I don't relax. I don't stop except for when I get there. And I walk into Epcot and I am there. And you want to talk about walking into Epcot. I don't know if I've shared this one before. So when I was very young, Epcot was being built and we were there for the Tencennial. And at the time, you could take a monorail ride from Magic Kingdom over to the construction site and you could see it being worked on. And my father took me over on the monorail to see the construction site. And shortly thereafter, when they opened, we went back and we went over, and there's a picture of he and I on the fountain. I'm actually, this one's hitting me. So when they changed the entrance to Epcot, I was heartbroken. And they brought back that fountain that's now back in front of Spaceship Earth. And we visited maybe 6 months after he passed. And I'll tell you, I walked up and saw that fountain and I lost it. I had to have my wife take the kids ahead of me, because it was a total rush of memories and nostalgia coming back. So I see that fountain now and it does me in every single time, because it really harkens back to the beginning of Epcot and when I was a kid. And that's something I have 1,000 photos of because it just speaks to me. That's one of those things that keeps me going back every single time.
Yeah, the background loop at World Showcase for me is something that, like, a huge part of my Disney experience. And I love just sitting next to, you know, the seating area next to Rosencrown. That is one of my favorite spots to just sit and people watch and look out over World Showcase Lagoon, or watch the people walking by through the countries and listening to that music. It is, I don't know, there's just something about being there that I also feel totally relaxed and totally just, it's like so happy. I just feel so happy when I'm there. And I just, you know, I did that last time I was there, and I called my mom from that spot, because I also have a little bit of, you know, nostalgia from being at World Showcase with my parents and with my dad. And we drank around the world with my dad, and he kept my mom had a shoulder replacement surgery, and she couldn't carry her purse. Her purse is like weighs 10 tons, so she couldn't carry it. So my dad was like, would always like carry my mom's bag across body. And as we were, it was, you know, the first time that we were drinking around the world with my parents, really with my dad. My mom didn't really, but he kept putting her bag down in a country. And then we would go to the next country and my mom would say, Paul, where's my purse? He'd be like, I'll be right back. And he'd have to run back to the last country and get it. And it was always there, thank God, because she probably would have killed him in Epcot if it had been gone. But, you know, I just have these memories of my dad. And do you remember the that Viking ship that was in Norway across from where the bathrooms were? It was a playground. And my dad, at this point, we started in Canada, so we're now in Norway. So, you know, we're towards the end of our drinking around the world tour. And my dad, at however old he was, I mean, he must have been in his mid 60s, close to 70 at this point. Oh, no, that's not true. No, probably like mid 50s. Got into that Viking ship, and there was a pole that he slid down, and it was just, you know, so like, I don't know, there was something about being at World Showcase that it kind of just like brings all of that back. And even if I'm not consciously thinking about each of those memories, it is like a comfort that like overcomes me, just because I have all of these really, really great memories from 1991 to now.
I think that's the point. That's what we're chasing every single time. I mean, I hate to make the comparison, but we're just addicts looking for that fix again, just chasing that bit of nostalgia, that one moment, that memory, that feeling that washes over you. We go back every single time just chasing that after the first hit that we got.
Yeah, like Phil said, I mean, how many times, like, your whole normal life, your work day, everything can be so stressful. And then when you finally get to that point where you know you're on property, I don't care how old you are, you can just let it go. And be a kid and just relax and just be who you want to be.
And when I think about the feels, I mean, a lot of my feels do revolve around World Showcase, because I love live music and entertainment. And, you know, the live music and entertainment at World Showcase to me is some of the best at Disney. And I love that, you know, the stage next to Canada. I mean, the feels from my kids running back and forth with Off Kilter playing.
I miss Off Kilter. Can I just throw that in here right now? Gosh, do I miss Off Kilter.
I miss them so much. They were like a highlight for me. Off Kilter and Mariachi Cobre were just two must-dos. Mariachi Cobre, that is a must-do for me every single time. Watching Mariachi Cobre, I just love those guys because they are just so warm. They love what they're doing. They've been clearly not the guys that are there now, but the legacy of Mariachi Cobre has been there since Epcot opened, since opening day. And they just bring this passion to performing for the people there that make you feel like they treat you like family. And I, you know, I just have so many feels around the entertainment at Epcot also when it was British invasion back at the UK, loved them too. And my kids running around the maze while the band was playing, you know, those are just what, and now when I see little kids doing it, I get a little choked up because I can remember my kids doing, you know, being at the age where they were like so short that they thought that the maze back there was like this massive maze. And now I went back there at the beginning of last year, my kids went back there and they were like, I can't believe how low this thing is.
Mackenzie spent 20 minutes in it 2 months ago. She's 9. It was still the most entertaining thing.
Well, wait for 10 years when she goes back and she's like, this thing is up to my kneecaps. Because my
we're
kids
not going to
could
talk
not,
about 10
it's like
years
they couldn't
from now.
Get over it. Well, I'm there. I'm at the point where I have like I have a 19-year-old daughter, and watching her, I mean, and it's so great because sometimes I watch her become a kid again. You know, I see her light up over things that she lit up at when she was like 6 years old. But then also now we get to do new things and enjoy new things together. But seeing my kids kind of see them experience nostalgia is like also a whole nother experience. And then watching other families with little kids and seeing them doing the things that my kids did, it's just, you know, you can't help but just smile and get choked up.
If we're talking about old acts, I can't leave the Jammeters out. I love the Jammeters. That's another one. I see the Jammeters and I'm back to being a kid again, just having fun with them. I've got pictures with them during marathons, walking through Epcot. It's fantastic. I feel like you and I've been dominating the conversation. Poor Scott and Kathleen are just sitting there in silence as we wax poetic about our past and our childhoods here.
Oh, you guys are good. Because I think our experience started, we didn't have the childhood experience. I never went to Disney as a kid. So my first time I think I was ever there, I was maybe my late 30s when I went. And I mean, that's when I fell in love with it. And being able to take my daughter and show her everything and experience that with her. And then later on, taking you and watching you fall in love with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so much fun. Just every little thing that we did, I got to see her expression and reaction to every little thing. And it was like, you know, it's just exciting for me to watch that. I think it's different now. Like we talk about the feels. Now that we're here, it's not that we take it for granted that we can go whenever we want, but it definitely has an effect on, because you don't get to come here as much when you're further away. Now it's about the friendships that we've developed through the clubhouse and getting to meet the people when they come down. Because, I mean, I never really was one. I mean, I'm not really an outgoing person where I have like a lot of friends before DVC, but being in this group and seeing these people that are in the group that have the same love for this, that to me is what I can remember almost every single time. The first time I met everybody that we still meet up with from all over the country. I mean, we could list a ton of people.
Do you remember the first time you met me?
No, I don't. I really don't.
He's blocked that from his memory.
No, I know why he doesn't remember.
I know why too. You don't remember the first time you met her?
Was that at Enchanted Rose?
It was.
See?
Yeah. You had like 4 island roses, I think.
I had heard all about you, so I had to pregame. Yeah. But no, I remember like every single time, that the first time that we've met up with people. And it's just such a great feeling, you know, that Disney has brought together so many people like that.
I think the other thing, and you know, it's become to some extent kind of my thing to take the kids so often. I talk about all the times I went as a kid, and it wasn't until many years later, looking back on it, we did not have a lot of money. I mean, I can remember having very little money, in fact, and it didn't come out until years later that was being funded by my grandparents, and it was our grandparents that were taking us. So being able to take my kids now brings me such huge satisfaction that just, you know, we've worked super hard, you know, we've done okay so far in life, and that's something I can give my kids that I got, and I can do it in such a way that they can appreciate it, because growing up the way I did, we never took it for granted, ever. you know, for as many times as we went, you know, life back home was not as nice. So I think that's another thing for me is, you know, without getting into details, it was pretty rough. But when we went there, all of that disappeared. So I think I feel that as well now being an adult. I think maybe that's why it gives me those home, safe, happy feels that I have now.
Disney was a bucket list growing up for us. I mean, same situation. My dad was the only one that worked. We barely, if we had $30, $40 for the week for groceries for a family of four, that's what we lived on. So our vacation every year was a one-day trip to Geauga Lake in Aurora, Ohio, which is kind of about 2 hours from Cedar Point. Not too many people have heard of it, but it's just the family fun theme park that everybody loved growing up. And to even think about Disney World was just a bucket list, never going to happen kind of thing. So to be able to do it and to be able to experience the way that we do now, I mean, we're just totally amazes me.
Yep, the exact same thing. It just, you know, you look back on what it was and what we can do now. And I know, you know, we've talked about it. I can come off as judgy. And I think that's just kind of the persona. But, you know, I don't judge anybody that's down there having a good time trying to give their kids an amazing trip, because those kids are going to have those memories forever, the same as I did. And I just, man, I hope they make the best memories ever being able to go down there, because it might be their one and only time. So do it however you have to do it to give those kids those memories.
Yeah.
And I had never been there. I probably would never have gone to Disney. I mean, maybe later, because my dad started having conferences down there and would bring me, because he knew I loved it, because it was my friend in my freshman year of high school who invited me to go with her family. And I mean, honestly, I can't imagine what my life would have been if she did not invite me to go on that trip.
Well, because, you wouldn't have us, and how boring would that be?
But that's true. I mean, it's not to get all sentimental about it, but I mean, honestly, like the trajectory of my life from that moment leading me to this moment, because she invited me to go to Disney with her, like it is not lost on me. Like it was a very defining moment in my life. And I mean, she's part of Clubhouse, and like, I'm so grateful.
Wait, she's known you this long and you're still friends?
She has known me this long. I mean, we don't see each other that frequently because, you know, life. But
there's a monthly payment involved there.
Yeah, she is a DVC member now, too. But, you know, and that was something, because I had such an amazing trip, it was so important to me that I be able to, that my kids be able to bring friends with them. And so I made that trip happen 2 years ago, because one of my favorite things about Disney is also experiencing Disney through the eyes of other people. And so I love experiencing Disney through the eyes of my kids, and then through the eyes of my kids being excited to have their friends who, one had never been there before, and one was there when she was, you know, like 7 years old. So it had been a really long time, and she didn't remember much. So to be able to experience Disney through their experience is just amazing. And I've had that experience so many times. Like I celebrated my 40th birthday with a couple of friends, and being there with them and experiencing it with them was so fun. And when I go with my sister and my nephew, you know, that's a totally different experience too. It's like every single trip that I do, depending on who I'm with, is different. But that's what makes me able to go so frequently, because it's not like I'm just trying to relive an experience by myself over and over again. It's that I'm experiencing it differently depending on who I'm with. Now that I've, you know, met you guys, and we, you know, when I go on my solo trips, and I always meet up with Kathleen and Scott, and I succumb to FOMO when Phil is going, and then I'm like, I better book a trip.
It happens.
I can't miss out because I want to be there to experience it with other people, you know? So like when I know that people are going, especially people that I like and I'm friends with, I want to be there too, because it's fun. And it's fun to connect there.
But is there anything more frustrating than having a friend or someone you know either go or come down with you and they just don't get it? It just doesn't click for them like it clicked for us. And you're like, how is this not working for you? I just don't understand.
I haven't had that experience. And, you know, I got married in Disney. And so we had like 60 people, 60 of our closest friends and family there. And my ex-husband's father was like somebody, he kind of thought the whole thing was ridiculous that we were getting married in Disney. And he hated flying. And they ended up taking a train down there. And he was so skeptical and just couldn't understand why we would be getting married at Disney World. And even he, who was a huge skeptic going into this, like fell in love with it. They like fell in love with World Showcase, getting the, you know, the caricatures done of themselves in France, you know, like they made the most of it. Like it was so fun getting married there and seeing my guests come and watching them fall in love with Disney was like honestly one of the most like rewarding things of my life. So even though the marriage failed and I'm divorced, I have no regrets about that day. I would relive that day over and over again. And one of the things, you know, Phil and I, you and I feel the same way about this is Illuminations, how heartbroken we are that they got rid of Illuminations. And the feels that I got from Illuminations, because again, it comes back to seeing Allie when she was 2 years old, sitting on my dad's shoulders, watching it, and watching my grandmother, who was 87 at the time, I think, when I got married. We had our rehearsal dinner and dessert party the night before the wedding at Epcot, at that area in France down on the lagoon. And my grandmother was sitting on one of like the planters on the like the concrete ledge, and I mean just looking up in awe. Like, this is an 87-year-old woman, you know, from Ireland, who like worked her butt off her entire life, never would have been to Disney World before, and she's sitting there looking up like a little kid watching Illuminations. And that is like a moment that makes me cry now, because I like seeing her experience that and knowing that, you know, that I was able to kind of do that for her and have her be there. Like, that is a memory that I will never, ever forget.
That's a good segue. What's missing now that gave us the feels and kept us coming back? And for me, Illuminations is just the top of the list. I mean, Amy asked the question today on the page, and there were a bunch of people that came back. Illuminations missing. And as long as we're staying in Epcot, can we please bring some fiber optic light up to the sidewalk again somewhere at CommuniCore? Because I miss that so much. The kids miss that so much. It was such an integral part of Epcot. You just went back every night to step on those.
Well, hopefully those will exist when all of those walls are down.
If.
But what else? I mean, Illuminations for me was huge. I mean, that was probably maybe number one on my list. I also really loved Wishes. I mean, I know Scott and Kathleen, like your feels come from Happily Ever After. Mine come from Wishes.
Did you see Wishes?
I never saw it. No.
Oh, okay.
The soundtrack with the kids singing and Jiminy Cricket talking, like that just, I could put that on right now and get choked up listening to it. I just loved that so much.
I liked Wishes, and I was prepared to have disdain for Happily Ever After, and that is one change they made that did not disappoint me. I truly do get the feels from Happily Ever After, and admittedly, part of that might be the fact that the last time we saw Wishes, my kids were so little, they were asleep in strollers when it happened, and they were old enough to appreciate Happily Ever After, so I think that's there. I said mm-hmm. the same thing with Wondrous Journeys at Disneyland, that will just forever have a place in my heart for the same reason. But I was okay with that one. I am not okay with Illuminations being gone. I will never be okay with Illuminations being gone. And it wasn't just the nostalgia. I think we all know that show went on forever through multiple iterations, but there was something about that show, about the music, about the soundtrack, that truly reached out and touched everyone. Epcot Forever is a disaster. We're not even going to speak of it. Harmonious had numerous issues. The new show is good, but I just don't think it tugs at the heartstrings like Illuminations did. Illuminations truly was about connecting everyone. There was just something so visceral about that show that I don't think they've matched.
Yeah, when Happily Ever After went away at Magic Kingdom, I really, really thought Kathleen was going to boycott it and I was never going to set foot in Magic Kingdom again for the rest of my life.
I'll never forget watching Enchantment. I was at home sitting in the recliner and they were showing it live, like, you know, this brand new show. And I'm like, okay, well, this has to be fantastic if it's going to be replacing Happily Ever After. I was like all excited for it. I was a little bummed, but I'm like, I don't know how you're going to beat Happily Ever After. So I'm watching it. Scott had fell asleep on the couch. And I remember watching it on, like, someone was live streaming it. And you know that meme I sent you, Amy? That's how, yeah, I was looking at the TV.
Well, I remember waking up and I remember seeing your reaction. And I my immediate question was, what's wrong? I didn't know. You know, it looked like somebody had died in the family. Or she was mad, like, just, and I'm looking at you going, what is wrong? Are you okay?
I was so upset.
What did I do? What did I do? I swear I won't do it again. What did I do, dear?
I was so disappointed. Yeah. And I'm like, what? Yeah, I was so disappointed. Lily, you know, Lily didn't like it either. She was not a fan of Enchantment.
But on the flip side of that, when they did bring it back, we all got to be there live. For, yes, the first show that they brought back, and I think everybody was just losing it in tears when they brought that back.
I tear up every time I watch Happily Ever After. Every single
that
time.
One hits.
Mm-hmm. You know when Mufasa says, "Remember who you are." Oh, gets me every time.
The opening to "I Can Go the Distance," that whole bum bum, oh, yeah, bum, and you just feel the bass. It's yes, it's fantastic.
It is. It's really good. It is really good. For me, one that I really miss is the Great Movie Ride. I have huge nostalgia. I mean, honestly, even though old MGM may not have had like a ton of stuff, I have a lot of nostalgia around some of the things that were there that are no longer there. And Great Movie Ride is definitely one of them. That was another, I interviewed to work at Disney when I graduated from college, and they asked me where I wanted to work. And I said, I wanted to work on the Great Movie Ride. And they said, okay, great. As soon as you move down here, let us know and you're hired. But then I chickened out and couldn't move to Florida by myself. So I didn't do it, but I loved Great Movie Ride so much too, that I wanted to work on that ride.
You've explained that ride to me, but I still can't picture it.
I did get to experience that ride the first time that I went there. It's basically just a ride through, a very slow ride through of some scenes of old classic movies. So I think Wizard of Oz was on there. Gone with the Wind. Help me out. Yeah, there's just a lot of classic movies that you just took a ride through. Wasn't there a guy at the front that was kind of like narrating and explaining?
So you could have one of two at the time. You could have the cowboy or you could have the gangster, and there would be interaction, and there were two possible paths to go through it. It was pretty cool. Singing in the Rain was there. Public Enemy was there. There were a lot of classic movies. Casablanca. I remember a lot of it. I think the clearest memory I have is when we brought Luke. He was probably 18 months old at the time, and I remember having to distract him and hide his face when Alien popped out of the ceiling because I was afraid we'd never get him back on it again if he got scared by that.
Yeah,
that was a must do. That ride was let's face it, there wasn't a whole lot to do back then in Hollywood Studios. Not like there is now as far as the expansion that they've done with Star Wars, but there really wasn't a whole lot they had the Tower of Terror and you know, the classics, but we always had to do that ride.
Well, as we said in the last episode, that was a half-day park.
Yeah.
It was built and designed as a half-day park.
Yep.
And at the end of the Great Movie Ride, they had the montage of all the different clips of the movies, and it was Robin Williams saying, "Good morning, Vietnam," remember? And I could see the sequence of the movies. And the Gone with the Wind music, it was just so good. It just, it captured what was so great about the movies, which is what MGM was built to do. That ride was just, it was just amazing. I loved it so much. And while Mickey and Minnie's is cute and fun, it is not to me, it had big shoes to fill, and it did not fill them.
No, and I think Kevin Rafferty did his best designing that. It was the first time Mickey ever got his own ride inside a park. I think for what it was and what they had to fit it in at least two parks, he did well. But again, it's suffering by being compared against what it replaced.
Yeah.
But that opens another question. Is there a ride? Because I know there's one for me that brings me back to my childhood that I have to do every time, no questions asked. And it's not even my favorite ride on property as far as the old rides go, but it is the ride that I feel we have to do because that's the one I remember the most and that I think my kids cling to as well.
Well, that's a two-parter for me because there's a ride that still exists that I have to do, and there's also one that recently just left that I am kind of destroyed by, that it's no longer there. But for me, I like the People Mover. I know it's kind of corny, but I have to be the guy that gets on the People Mover every time I go to Magic Kingdom.
Every trip.
And at the same time, as much as I love to do that, and I'm excited to see Tiana, but I so badly just miss Splash Mountain and all the memories that I have riding that ride. But that's mine.
Kathleen?
I think I will say that I've only been going to Disney for, 4 years or so, and Splash Mountain was one of the first rides that I rode, so that brought, every time I would ride it, it would remind me of my first time at Disney, so I was really sad when they took that away. But the other ride, I don't ride it every time because the line is, ridiculous, but it's Frozen for me, and that is because, when Lily was little when Frozen came out, and she was just obsessed with Frozen. She had the Frozen bedroom and she thought she was Elsa and everything was Frozen with her. And it's just our ride together. So every time I see anything Frozen or ride Frozen, I get teared up, and I just, it's just something that me and Lily share together.
Maelstrom was a cool ride. Anybody remember Maelstrom?
Absolutely.
Love that one too.
Yep.
The problem with Maelstrom was it was always a 5-minute wait until they replaced it, and then everybody missed it.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
So I have two, and one of them is really if I'm with my kids. If I'm with my kids, it's Spaceship Earth. We have to go on Spaceship Earth. Allie is every single time we go through the scene where the library at Alexandria burnt down, she's devastated. She's how did all of those books and knowledge and wisdom just get burned? She still can't get over it. From the first time she wrote it, it was devastating to her. It's still devastating to her now.
As a history geek and fellow bibliophile, I totally connect with that feeling.
So Spaceship Earth when I'm with my kids. And also for me, it's really Pirates is one that I'm it just for me, it is quintessential Disney. But the one ride that I always end up going on, and it's not because I love it, and it's not because there's great nostalgia around it, but I always go on the boat ride in Mexico. I'm always on that thing.
We're always on that.
We love it too. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we should mark this. It is 7:43 p.m. on the 27th of February, 2024. I am in...
Do you agree with me on something?
Full agreement with Amy on her rides.
I knew that if you were taking note of this moment, it had to be significant.
This is the moment. This is it.
Argue. This is the moment. Sorry.
I look back at Spaceship Earth, and I can remember Cronkite. I can remember Jeremy Irons. I now have Dame Judi Dench. I can remember that ride through the ages from minute one of Epcot right up until just weeks ago. I can remember every version, and walking in that amazing mural that still graces the entrance. We have this game we call a lizard hunt. We play every time we go, and everybody has to go to Spaceship Earth because when it's cold out, all the lizards hang out on top of the lights, so you can really up your score there. But if it's Epcot, it's got to be Spaceship Earth. It is quintessential Epcot. And I can remember every piece of it, and I can remember being a kid going on it. I can remember being an adult with my wife. I can remember going on with my children. And if I go to Magic Kingdom, again, not my favorite ride at Magic Kingdom. I think that's probably going to be Haunted Mansion because of everything that's there. But it's Pirates. If I think about being a little kid in that queue, just wishing that the cannons worked and just wishing I could go into the arsenal and take down those really cool rifles and getting on the ride. And I can remember standing between the chains as a little kid and my legs being tired and not wanting to walk anymore, but being so excited to go on Pirates. And the second you walk into the queue, you can smell Pirates. That bromide water smell that I actually still have as an air freshener in my car to this day. And when I was a kid, you could actually come out and you could buy the really cool replica rifles that you could carry around Frontierland. And there's so many memories with that ride. That is the one I step in, and that smell alone can just transport me back to everything from 6 years old to my kids being 6 months old are all encapsulated. Again, listening to the music, smelling the ride, seeing the sights, it's just all inclusive on that ride.
And now you've put the song in my head.
Bum, 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 ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yo ho, yo ho. I would have bet some serious money that you two would have said the Astro Orbiter.
Well, that has its own specific memories. Pom-pom hats. And you guys could have come with us, but you decided to bag out that evening. We went running from park to park to park, just doing as much as we could in the short time we had there.
Yeah, I saw the
picture.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That looked like a memorable time.
Oh my God, it was hilarious.
It was entertaining.
We were laughing so hard. I had no idea that they weren't regular seats. And then we had to like straddle
And then she
each
put
other.
The two of us in one rocket. And here we are like, yeah, it was entertaining. And that was like, I think the first or second time I met Amy and we had to get uncomfortably close to each other that night. And like, I guess this is okay.
Oh, and here we are now.
All right. Any last thoughts, guys? I feel like we needed this episode. We've had some episodes where we've all been a little critical and, you know, it always comes back to the feels in all of our episodes. And when Amy asked me that question the other day, it kind of struck a chord with me. So I'm glad we did this.
Me too. I think it's way too easy to focus on the negative and talk about what we don't have now or what we wish we had. But to sit here and kind of reminisce and talk about the things that made us fall in love with it in the first place. Definitely is good.
And why we keep going back. What keeps drawing us back time after time? I sat at the condo association meeting and they put these singers on stage with Mickey and I'm, you know, someone's cutting onions in the row behind me. I'm like, what is it about this place that does this to us?
So I think you answered this already, Scott. If you could pick one resort, which one gives you the most feels? Is it Riverside?
Yeah, it's a non-DVC resort, and it's only because that was my first trip. And it's the smells, it's the, like I said, the music, the sounds of everybody singing, it's the pool, it's just, it's everything about that place. The lobby when you walk in and you can see all the different ports, or I don't know what that's called in there, but I just so remember walking in there and thinking, this is going to be the greatest vacation of my life from the first minute that I walked in. But yeah, Riverside for me.
So mine is definitely not my first resort, which was Riviera. Surprisingly, it's not. You would think it would be. It's not Boardwalk. It's not Grand Floridian. It is Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Really?
I did not see that one coming.
Yeah. Everything about that resort is just the sounds, looking at everything, the cast members there. I don't know, just everything about that place just reminds me of Disney. And that was, we also stayed there my second time there.
Well, and your dad stayed there too.
So my dad is, you know, he's a retired 30-year Marine. You know, he doesn't really show emotions well, and he's very, you know, I don't know. He's a grunt.
I'm familiar with the type.
He stayed at Animal Kingdom Lodge and he was just, you know, blown away by it. He was also in Africa before too. So he said that how it is in Africa and how they displayed it at the lodge is unbelievable to him. He said it's almost spot on how it is.
This is a hardcore Marine still.
Yeah.
That, you know, straight faced, will not show emotion. I'm scared to death every time I talk to him still. But with one night of staying at Animal Kingdom, one night, I kid you not, he was about 2 seconds away from calling and purchasing a DVC contract. That's how special Disney is.
Yeah. And he's actually coming down at the end of March, and he's a big steak eater, so I'm taking him to Steakhouse 71.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And I'll be scared to death.
For me, it's either Beach Club or Boardwalk. To me, they're kind of, you know, I have like all of the nostalgia that I described before about Beach Club. I also have a ton of nostalgia around Boardwalk. I got married there. My whole family hung out there for my wedding. So I've got a ton of feels over there too. So, I mean, it's just Crescent Lake, really. I mean, we've talked about this before, but Crescent Lake gives me the feels big time.
I think for me, it's also split between two. And if you asked me to pick one, I don't think I could. It's Yacht Club and Polynesian. Probably no surprise to anybody here. Yacht Club was our first ever on-property trip as a family. My kids were tiny, and every time I see those hallways, I'll just see a little 2-year-old girl running down the hallway with sunglasses on and a little boy asleep in a stroller. And I've more or less watched my kids grow up at Poly, so there's a lot of memories there. Both amazing smells, both amazing sights, both amazing locations. I don't think I could ever choose between the two. It would be like choosing between my children.
I also need to talk about something that gives me the feels. We talked about this, Phil, on our wish list episode that we did about things that we wish, and I wished that California Grill would be returned to its former glory, because California Grill gives me major, major feels. On this last trip when I went and I found out that you could order a la carte off of the prefix menu if you sit at the bar, I went there twice that week because I was so thrilled with that development and everything I got was excellent. And so and Kathleen came in and she met me. We ordered some appetizers. We had some drinks. We sat up there during the sunset. The bartender is amazing. I love it there so much. And the fact that I was able to do that and enjoy it the way that I wanted to really, really just made me so happy.
Came back to the feels and the food every time.
Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap it up, guys?
Let's wrap it up.
All right. Well, we thank you guys for playing along yet again. As always, if you could hop on over to Apple, give us a 5-star review, some words of love, we would greatly appreciate it. Amy?
And also, don't forget to follow us on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Join us over at DVC Clubhouse on Facebook if you don't already. And until next time, we'll DVC you real soon.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
See you guys.
And so our journey comes to an end.
Oh, no, please. Can't we go back to page one and do it all over again?
We started this thing together, and that's how we finish it.
Because that, my friends, is where the magic lives.